We'll have our first scripture lesson. We listen to the story of God's people as recorded in the Bible. And our first reading is from the Hebrew Bible, first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. So Elijah the prophet set out from there and found Elishu, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of there were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over to him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, but don't forget what I've just done to you." Elishu returned from following Elijah, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. So ends the first reading.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 9. And slightly different verses from what's in your bulletin. We'll be reading verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to them, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." But that person said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to that person, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to that person, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This summer, we are spending some time in the Gospel of Luke, where we visited a little bit earlier during some ordinary time and during Lent. And most of our scriptures will be about discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus. We talked about the scripture in Bible study on Wednesday night, and I felt like our discussion ended up really being holy ground because of some stories that were told and what we got out of those. So I'd love to share those stories with you today, three stories, all of which I have permission to tell, thanks to the folks who said yes. The first story was shared by Cindy Manson, and she talked about a book or a study that had been done about folks who, during World War II in Nazi Germany, had rescued their fellow citizens who were Jewish, who had hid them in their homes, who had gotten them to safety somehow. And not just those folks who had done it for one or two people, but folks who had saved hundreds of people or even thousands of people at great risk to their own lives. And the researchers who were interviewing them wanted to know how that all got started. Why did someone decide to take on this long, stressful, dangerous work that could very easily have gotten them and their families killed? And what they found was interesting. It wasn't that the people who were sheltering others were bold, courageous people with a great vision and who knew that this is what they were supposed to do. Usually it just started off that someone they knew asked them for help, begged them to keep them safe for just a day or a night. And they said yes. They said yes to one person or one family, and from there, they found they couldn't say no to others. They said yes again and again and again, and suddenly it became this way of life. A way of life that meant that they were living double lives for years at a time, right? Because they had to continue to keep going to work and to church and to socialize with their neighbors and to even give the Heil Hitler salute when they were required to. They had to live in a way that wouldn't draw attention to them in Nazi Germany while they were also completely subverting every rule and every law of that regime. And so in an important way, they were defying the norms of everyone around them. And they were doing it in a way that saved the lives of so many. In Israel, these folks are honored as the righteous Gentiles because they took care of others as though they were not different, as though they were not marked and set apart as the Nazis wanted people to believe, but as though they were their own. So that's story number one. Story number two was shared by Sandy Roshan, Eric Roshan's mom and Christine's mother-in-law. And she's been joining us virtually for Bible study for the last several weeks. And she shared the story of how she and her husband, at one point earlier in their lives, had cared for two foster kids, a brother and a sister, for a period of about 6 months, and then again for another period of time later. Although these children were part of their extended family, and they felt that God was calling them to say yes to caring for these kids, they got a lot of pushback from friends and other family members and even church folks. Are you crazy? Do you know what you're getting yourself into? People would say, is this really a good idea? I mean, being big-hearted, but this is going to be a tough road to hoe. It's not that the people who had doubts about what Sandy and her husband were doing were hard-hearted. It's that they, like so many of us, were used to choosing what seemed like the more secure and comfortable and low-risk path. In a way, they were right. Caring for these siblings who had already experienced so much hardship was not easy. And because the siblings now choose not to be in contact with them, Sandy and her husband don't even know if their actions resulted in a positive outcome. But as Sandy said, they saw this opportunity as God's invitation to them, as the Spirit leading them to ignore the distractions of well-meaning family and friends and to embrace what they felt like Jesus wanted them to do. It was all about their perspective, all about where their eyes were focused and the way they chose to see the situation. The last story from when I worked is a story from when I worked at a homeless shelter just after college. I had taken some time off to go to General Synod, which is our denomination's every 2 years national gathering, which, by the way, is virtual this year, and you can watch the worship services for free. So keep an eye out for information about that. It's a lot of fun to be together, even virtually, with people from so many different threads in our UCC tapestry. So I was at this gathering, this national gathering, and while there, I had planned to meet up for lunch with my parents and with the pastor of my home church and his wife, who are all also attending Synod. So I got to the designated Subway chain restaurant where we were to meet for lunch. I got there a bit early, and I saw a man who was asking for money outside the Subway. I didn't have any cash on me, but I offered to buy him lunch using my credit card. So imagine my parents and pastor's surprise when they showed up to find me standing in line with a stranger who, as soon as his order was ready, he grabbed a sandwich and he headed off without a word to me or to them. "Was that a friend of yours?" they asked. I said, "No, it was just somebody who was hungry." Their bemused expressions stayed on their faces, and I realized I was so used to sharing my life with people who were living on the street that I thought nothing of buying lunch for someone I didn't know, someone whom others usually ignored. But to them, it was really odd. I think at first glance, this passage, the scripture passage we read this morning, can make you want to throw up your hands and say, "Well, I guess I'm just not meant to be a disciple because the bar is way too high. I can't stick around for my dad's funeral. I can't say goodbye to those I love. And I'm going to be on a rough and unprepared road with Jesus, who never stays in one place for too long and has nowhere to call home." There's more going on here than meets the eye. Jesus's interactions with what the scripture heading calls would-be followers, ouch, that's a little harsh. His interactions with them are meant to be read less as brutal factual dismissals of those trying to live in God's way, and more like three mini parables, little teachings that are meant to help us shift our perspective about what being a disciple will entail. These little parables are meant to remind us that following Jesus often involves doing things in a way that puts us at odds with the way things are usually done, or even at odds with our family and friends, whether that's living in life-risking defiance of an unjust political regime, like the righteous Gentiles did, whether it's enduring the doubts and dismissal of our closest supporters and our community to care for someone deemed unlovable, or maybe enduring our own doubts when loving that person gets hard or gets us hurt, or whether it's simply putting up with the head scratching of those who are surprised when we refuse to ignore the people society tells us we're supposed to ignore. You may remember from last time I preached about this that it turns out Jesus isn't actually telling us to skip our father's funeral. That would be a terrible message on Father's Day of all days, right? But that the saying, "Let me go and bury my father first," is shorthand for "let me stay and care for my aging parent until he dies," whether that's 2 months from now or 2 years from now or even 2 decades. That makes Jesus's challenging invitation more bearable, yes, but it's still, well, challenging. It's a call not necessarily to never see our family and friends again, because just as Elisha went back to say goodbye to his family after Elijah had called him and threw a party for them with the oxen, right? And just as we know from the Gospels that in the course of their ministry, Jesus and his followers often did circle back to see their loved ones. But it is a call to completely reorient our perspectives and priorities, to leave behind some things that we thought were essential. It's a call that uses such bold, extreme-sounding language to drive home the point that following Jesus will have us doing strange, hard, even risky or dangerous things, even as we're living out our ordinary lives, just like those righteous Gentiles going about their ordinary lives, but having other things that are challenging the norms of those around them. Things that may generate reactions from others or ourselves, reactions that might encourage us to turn aside or to look back away from the plow, away from our straight furrows we're supposed to be plowing, or that might encourage us to question whether this was all a good idea or maybe whether we were just plain crazy. No, Jesus's words say to us, you are not crazy. This is all a part of doing things in God's radical, subversive, heart-changing, world-changing way. Just keep turning your gaze back to the one who called you, Jesus says. Just keep your eyes on me, and you'll be all right. Amen. Whether you need that little urge today to do something that feels challenging or a little against the grain, but you feel like the Spirit's been kind of tapping you on the shoulder about it for a little while, or whether it's just that life feels really hard right now and you don't know when things are going to get better, hear these loving, challenging, but deeply caring words from Jesus. Keep your eyes on me, he says, and everything else will fall into place. Go in peace.